Welcome to our November 29th board meeting. I'd like the minutes to first reflect the presence of a quorum. The first item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes of the members' meeting.
Can we wait for Jacques? He's actually here.
Oh, there he is. All right.
He's no chair. He's no chair.
There's no chair.
Let's make sure Mr. Gina has...
Thank you.
Okay. All right, we're good? Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on September 26, 2018. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Yes.
All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item on our agenda, President's Report from Eric Enderlin.
Thank you, Maria, and thank you to all the members in attendance today, full house. Our agenda is a long one, so I'm going to keep my own remarks relatively brief. But since this is our annual meeting, there are several standing business matters on the agenda, including an update of our audit committee, our yearly property disposition report, and most notably the presentation of our annual operating budget for fiscal year 2019. Regarding the budget, our treasurer, Kathy Bauman's presentation, will note that for fiscal year 2018, HDC's revenues were higher and expenses lower than had been projected, which is always a good thing. Though the fiscal year 2019 budget that will be presented for your approval is higher than in years past. As Kathy will review in greater detail, this reflects a planned and continued investment in HDC's technology infrastructure, as well as a renewed commitment to the staffing demands of a growing organization. And most notably, regarding staffing, the budget includes startup costs for the operations of a new transactional unit within HDC, which will be dedicated to assisting the city's public housing recapitalization efforts. In terms of project activity, Leroy Giles of our development department will request that the members approve a restructuring and remarketing for an existing project in the HDC portfolio. Leroy will describe this action more fully, but essentially this will allow the project to receive a lower fixed interest rate, which will help stabilize operations as its 421A tax benefits expire. Rob Sanna, also of our development department, will present the financing of Baychester Murphy. This is a large preservation project with NYCHA, leveraging the efficient interest rates realized through HUD risk sharing and the Federal Financing Bank, or FFB, model to rehabilitate 722 units of affordable housing in the Bronx. HDC successfully worked with our partners in the government and advocacy spheres to extend this program through the end of calendar year 2019, when it had previously been scheduled to sunset in September. We're continuing to participate in a larger advocacy effort to extend the program more permanently, given its success in leveraging public-private partnerships without the need for additional federal resources and for limited local resources as well. Executive Vice President Anthony Richardson will present HDC's latest actions for your consideration under the open resolution today. The projects Anthony will discuss will range from a vast but aging development being preserved under our Mitchell Lama reinvestment program to large mixed income sites and new construction projects focused on serving low and extremely low income households. This action under the open resolution would permit the financing of up to 14 new or preserved projects totaling more than 5,600 units of housing. Even given the possibility, which always exists, that one or two deals might fall out or be delayed due to project readiness or other issues, it's expected that if this action is approved, it will result in more than 5,000 units of housing that will be closed and counted under our already record-breaking housing plan. This is an important point, too. What many HDC projects increasingly have in common, and you may have noticed, is that they've become generally larger and often involve more complicated or nuanced financing structures. As I noted last autumn, when this administration, with the commissioner, launched the updated housing plan, Housing New York 2.0, a central theme was building on successful public-private partnerships and, in fact, asking more of them. The role of HUD and of the Treasury Department and also of the GSEs, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, bear that out in many of the projects being proposed today and in going forward. So as we have asked more of the real estate development community, so too have we continued to ask more of our private banking partners who are answering that call with creative ideas and strategies to achieve efficiencies, increase savings, and stretch resources even further to create and preserve more affordable housing. So in between Rob's and Anthony's presentations, our first Executive Vice President, Rich Froelich, will present briefly, although maybe less brief than we thought, but he will present appropriately, during which he will expand further on some of these financing strategies.
It's supposed to be usually inappropriate.
Yes, always appropriately. Back to the agenda. It's all the agenda, but back to the agenda. Assistant Vice President Luke Schrey will present the new Down Payment Assistance Fund, which will utilize HDC's unrestricted reserves and leverage the philanthropic community to achieve another of the goals of Housing New York 2.0, which is to create a level playing field that enables more nonprofit organizations to participate in developing and preserving affordable housing in the neighborhoods that they know best. Luke will walk through the proposal, but this is the latest of our collaborations with our partners at HPD. We also recently joined them in issuing the first Partners in Preservation RFP, another initiative of Housing New York 2.0 that seeks to address community housing needs by working with local nonprofits. HPD, NYCHA, DHS, these agencies are all our partners, and we expect our collaborations with them only to increase as we all work together to achieve a more equitable and affordable New York City. Anthony will conclude the day's agenda with several declarations of intent for the latest projects under internal staff review, but I'd like to conclude my own remarks by shifting my focus back to the very next item on the agenda, internal audit. Specifically, I'd like to take a brief moment to celebrate the contributions of Shirley Jarvis, who has served HDC so ably for more than 33 years in various capacities, and most recently as our Vice President of Internal Audit. Shirley will be leaving us for a well-deserved retirement at the end of December, and I know you'll all join me in wishing her the very best. I figure at least gets a walkover and a hug. 33 years to say thank you very much.
I have 42. What do I get?
By the way, we have behind the scenes. We've always said we want to humanize these meetings. A little
bit. I love you.
Anthony, I hope you like hearing from Anthony because you will be hearing from him a lot today. Anthony will conclude the day's agenda with several declarations of intent for the latest projects under internal staff review. But I'd also like to conclude my own remarks. I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. I did that paragraph already. I also want to join the members in wishing our staff and all of our colleagues a happy holiday season after you've all closed your projects. Maria, this concludes my remarks. And if there are no questions, please continue with the agenda. Thank you.
I have one question. Any plans to work with Prudential on this program?
You know, I don't want to go into detail. The only stuff that I know about that is some of the newer stuff, but we can have a conversation.
Well, they're based in Newark, but I assume
they'll
be doing stuff here.
It could be.
Who's that?
Prudential. One of our former colleagues, I think, went over to work there. In fact, one of Louise's colleagues went over to work there.
That's right. Well, thank you, Eric, for the very thorough report. Congratulations to Shirley. I think all of what was embedded in Eric's remarks in terms of accomplishments over the years is certainly due to the service of individuals, not just like Shirley, but so many around the table and in this room who've committed years, if not decades, of their professional lives to supporting this work. So really, thanks to everyone. Moving on to the next item in our agenda, pursuant to the PAAA, and for purposes of discussing the next items on the agenda, we will now commence the meeting of HDC's Finance Committee, the first item of which is the report of the Audit Committee, which Harry will walk us through.
Thank you. Well, the Audit Committee met just prior to this meeting, at which time the members reviewed investment, debt, and credit reports. In addition, an internal audit report was presented by Shirley, and the 2019 internal audit schedule was approved.
Thank you. The next item, approval of an amendment and restatement of multifamily rental housing revenue bonds, bond resolution, and direct purchase of multifamily rental housing revenue bonds, 2005 Series A and 2018 Series A, and Leroy will walk us through that particular item.
Thank you. I'm pleased to present for the members' approval the amendment and restatement of the corporation's multifamily rental housing revenue bonds, the Nicole 2005 Series A bond resolution, and the issuance of the 2018 Series A bonds in an amount not to exceed $5 million. Interest on the 2005 bonds is anticipated to be exempt from federal, state, and local income tax. Interest on the 2018 bonds will not be exempt from federal income tax, but will be exempt from state and local tax. The bonds will be directly placed with Wells Fargo and secured by a mortgage purchase agreement, or MPA. In 2002, the members approved the issuance of $56.3 million in tax-exempt bonds and $8.7 million in taxable bonds, which were used for the purpose of acquiring and constructing a 149-unit rental housing development located at 400 West 55th Street and developed under the corporation's 80-20 program. In 2005, the corporation approved the refunding of the 2002 series bonds to refinance the project, which were secured by a permanent credit enhancement facility from Fannie Mae. The project was developed by the Gotham Organization and restricts the occupancy of five households earning up to 40% AMI, 25 units at 50% AMI, and the remaining 119 units at market rates. The MPA will be for an initial term of 15 years and is anticipated that upon expiration, it will be extended or replaced with a credit facility with a term ending on or before November 15, 2035, the final maturity of the bonds. 2005 bonds will be remarketed as fixed-term rate tax-exempt bonds and bear interest at a rate not expected to exceed 4.5%. The 2018 bonds will be issued as fixed-term rate taxable bonds and will bear interest at a rate not expected to exceed 5%. The risks and fees are described in greater detail in the memo before you, and if there are no questions, Louise will present the authorizing resolution.
Are there questions for the team?
Thank you. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution which provides for, one, the adoption of the amended and restated resolution, two, the adoption of the supplemental resolution, three, the execution of the remarketing purchase contract regarding the remarketing and direct placement of the 2005 bonds, four, the execution of the bond purchase agreement regarding the direct placement of the 2018 bonds, five, the execution of the mortgage purchase agreement with respect to the bonds, and six, the execution of mortgage-related documents and other documents necessary to accomplish the remarketing and direct placement of the 2005 bonds, the issuance and direct placement of the 2018 bonds, and the refinancing of the mortgage loan.
Do I have a motion to approve the actions described by Louise?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item, approval of a participation construction loan and an FFP permanent loan for Baychester Murphy. Robert Santa will make the presentation.
Thank you. I am pleased to recommend that the members approve the origination of and participation in a taxable construction loan funded by Citibank in an amount not to exceed $145,960,000 and a permanent loan for the project defined herein in an amount not to exceed $148,500,000. The proceeds of the construction loan will be used for the acquisition and rehabilitation of a 722-unit multifamily rental housing development known as Baychester Murphy, consisting of 14 buildings located at two New York City Housing Authority-owned properties in the Tremont and Edenwald neighborhoods of the Bronx. It's anticipated that the permanent loan will be financed through the corporation's FFB program. The Baychester Murphy project is part of a portfolio of eight developments originally funded and constructed by New York City and New York State in the early 1960s without assistance from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, known as the State-City Developments. In 2010, the corporation provided supplemental financing for these developments when the members approved the issuance of the corporation's 2010 Series A bonds. The financing was primarily intended to allow NYCHA to participate in federalization under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, which allowed for federal operating subsidy and capital funds for public housing. The scope of work was limited in nature and only included minimal repairs. The project is supported by two long-term project-based Section 8 housing assistance payment contracts, which are expected to be extended for an additional 25-year term at closing. As a requirement of the HAP contract, upon vacancy, units in the project will be reserved for households earning no more than 50% of area median income. In 2017, NYCHA issued a request for proposal for a co-developer in the co-developer partner for the project and selected a partnership between Camber Property Group, L&M Development Partners, and MBD Community Housing Corporation. The borrower and the mortgagor for the project will be Cross Bronx Preservation LLC, a New York limited liability company which is comprised of a 50% managing member entity collectively controlled by Camber, L&M, and MBD, and a 50% member entity controlled by NYCHA. NYCHA will continue to hold fee title to the project and will transfer beneficial ownership to the borrower through a 99-year ground lease and nominee agreement, which will be executed at or prior to construction loan closing. The proposed rehabilitation scope consists of a substantial rehabilitation that will focus on facade restoration and aesthetic improvements, in-unit renovations, and energy efficiency upgrades. The construction term is expected to be 18 months. Construction period financing will be originated by the corporation in an amount not to exceed $145,960,000. The construction loan will be participated and fully funded by Citibank. At conversion, the construction loan will be refinanced with the proceeds of the permanent loan in an amount not to exceed $148,500,000. The permanent loan will be structured as a senior loan secured by the leasehold mortgage and is expected to be insured via the HUD Section 542C risk sharing program. The loan may initially be funded with the corporation's unrestricted reserves, with the beneficial interest sold to the U.S. Treasury's Federal Financing Bank. The loan is expected to have a four-year term and carry an interest rate of 4.75%. To protect against interest rate volatility associated with the forward FFB execution during the construction period, the corporation expects to purchase a LIBOR index interest rate swap from a qualified interest rate provider. The risks and fees associated with the project are described in greater detail in the memo before you. If there are no questions, the members are requested to approve the origination of a participation loan in an amount not to exceed $145,960,000 to be funded by Citibank, the making of a permanent loan not to exceed $148,500,000, which may initially be funded with unrestricted reserves but sold to the FFB, the execution of an interest rate swap agreement, and any documents necessary for the financing as described in the memo. Thank you.
Are there questions?
With this scope, will the items in the building that may be deferred maintenance or code type items all be settled so that really bringing the building up to a full, because I know you're doing in-place rehab, so there may be some limitations on what you can do, but I'm just wondering how complete will the building be post-rehab?
It's expected the tenants will be in place, but the scope includes a replacement of all kitchens, bathrooms, flooring, interior hallways will also be upgraded. It's a fairly extensive scope.
And to be clear, always with HPD or HDC projects, any kind of a code issue, particularly a violation, but everything will be to code and any violation will be settled.
And also, participating in an FFV gets us to an interest rate that allows us to size as much and do more work.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, how often do we use the hedge advisor?
I'll speak more about that, but we do work regularly with them whenever we've asked for authority from you to enter into swaps. So our hedge advisor is here, Sima Mahanti, but we work with them on a regular basis as we contemplate these types of transactions.
That's a good question. I mentioned it, and Rich will get into this, but we mentioned that these projects are bigger and often more complex or nuanced. One important conversation that we've had and has been important to me is that it's never complexity for its own sake. It's never gratuitous. It's always where there is some advantage or some efficiency that we can get out of that nuance or that complexity, and with that comes these types of hedging instruments. So that was something that I was thoughtful about and think about on a regular basis with the team.
The other questions or comments? Do I have a motion to approve the participation construction loan and FFB permanent loan for Baychester Murphy and all the other actions described?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So before we move on to the next item, Rich, did you want to talk more about refinancing structures?
Sure.
And restoring?
Yeah. So Eric asked me to explain a few aspects of the transactions that will be presented to the members today, or already have just been presented, in order to highlight some changes in the corporation's approach and to explain the risks and mitigations the corporation plans to use. With these proposed actions, the staff believes that the corporation is furthering the mayor's housing plan in a financially prudent manner. First, I'd like to discuss credit risk, risk sharing, and the corporation's use of mortgage insurance to manage long-term risk and as a credit support for HTC bonds. The members have previously approved the corporation's use of REMIC, mortgage insurance, as a top loss enhancement on many mortgages since shortly after the creation of the open resolution in 1993. Such initial usage was timed with REMIC becoming an HTC subsidiary. HTC continues to use FHA insurance, Sunny Mae mortgage insurance, and different credit enhancement facilities from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, either as standalone enhancement or as mortgage insurance within the open resolution. Then in 2010, the corporation began actively using the FHA-HFA risk-sharing mortgage insurance product, initially as part of the new issue bond program. As Rob just mentioned, the corporation then piloted the Federal Financing Bank FHA risk-sharing loan purchase program in 2014. In addition to the Baychester Murphy loan you just approved, the corporation proposes to use FHA risk-sharing on several other projects in front of you today, including a very large loan for the proposed Hunters Point Southside C development. Consistent throughout HTC's history is an effort to finance the corporation's pipeline of development and preservation projects in an efficient manner. As Eric mentioned, the revised Mayor's Housing Plan, Housing New York Plan 2.0, specifically charged the housing agencies to undertake new financing products and to work with our partners to be even more cost-effective. One of the goals was to bring lower-cost financing through enhanced risk-share programs that more appropriately price the risk in transactions that have significant government involvement and subsidy, like the projects that are being proposed today. The greater use of FHA risk-sharing is a response to that charge, as it is our lowest cost enhancement and allows for level amortization on loans for up to 40 years. And the corporation has established several reserves to support its general obligation rating and the rating on REMIC, as well as specific risk-sharing reserves. Further in that direction, Anthony will recommend that the corporation take a 20% top-loss position on two projects that will be risk-share enhanced with Freddie Mac. Freddie Mac will take the bottom 80% risk on these transactions for a significantly lower enhancement fee than it usually charges. The corporation will receive a higher fee for taking the top-loss position. Furthermore, the corporation will create a reserve to cover a portion of potential losses. Separately, the corporation is working with Fannie Mae to create an alternative risk-share program that staff will hopefully bring to the members in the spring. Although the size of the projects that are being proposed at this meeting are large, the corporation's conservative underwriting, the very large investment of subsidy by HPD and HTC in most of the transactions, the strength of the corporation's financial and asset management oversight, the use of the corporation's reserves to cover potential losses on risk-sharing, as well as the consistent demand for affordable housing in New York City are all strong protections against such proposed risk-sharing. The second issue relates to forward lending and potential interest rate exposure if interest rates rise prior to the making of permanent loans. Anthony will request that you authorize loans that are significantly larger than the bonds being currently issued for the projects in December. The projects with larger permanent loans include Hunters Point Site C, NEC 125th Street, Bedford Union Armory, Riverwalk, and Caton Flats. Each of these projects are mixed income and are using the bifurcated loan structure, in which the borrower divides the project in two so that there is a low-income component that will be funded with new money tax-exempt bonds, other than Caton Flats, which is only using recycled bonds, and a middle and market component that is financed by a combination of recycled bonds and taxable money funded by the banks during construction and then upon conversion by the corporation. HTC is offering fixed-rate mortgages for these projects and will use a combination of the 2018 Series K and L proceeds as well as the proceeds of 2022 Series B and C bonds and funds expected to be available in the open resolution in the future. Part of the permanent loans will be funded with the remarketing or issuance of bonds into floating variable rate that will be issued with liquidity to be arranged at a future time or provided by using the corporation's own liquidity. The corporation is offering these forward loans partially to reduce the cost of negative arbitrage on these projects, which would otherwise increase the cost of financing and constructing such projects. In order to do all of this lending, the corporation is expecting certain prepayments from projects in 2021 through 2023 that will be relent to the projects listed above. The money that will be relent has been financed with fixed rate debt that was either set in June, or it will be priced simultaneously with the other portions of the proposed transactions. Although the timing of conversion of the various projects previously described, as well as the prepayments from other projects, may not strictly align, the corporation may use corporate funds to bridge such timing gaps, and staff does not believe that this is a significant risk. With respect to the floating rate component of the financings, the corporation will enter into several forward-starting interest rate swap agreements with eligible counterparties to manage the forward interest rate risk. Due to the flatness of the yield curve, the long forward-starting swaps are still an efficient and low-cost measure to protect HCC from increases in interest rates during the 4 to 5 year construction periods. HCC will enter into either a SOFR-based swap or a percentage of LIBOR-based swap because it is the most widely available derivative product sold to protect for changes in interest rates. Overall, interest rates are relatively low today, but that could change, and so interest rate swaps are an effective way to hedge against the potential of interest rates rising. You have previously authorized the staff to enter into swaps for numerous transactions since 2016, beginning with a forward swap entered into with respect to the funding for Jamaica 148th Street development, the first new construction forward FFB transaction in the country. The corporation has entered into 7 swaps for an amount in excess of $500 million. Due to increases in interest rates since HTC has entered into such swaps, these agreements were valued as of October 31, 2018, at a positive market value in excess of $31 million. It's important to note that this is just a value at a specific time, and if rates had decreased since we entered into such swaps, the value could have been negative. More important is the knowledge that the swaps are doing their job of helping the corporation manage its interest rate risk in a volatile period. The protection permits the corporation to offer long-term fixed-rate loans at interest rates that are both efficient and profitable to the corporation, while also furthering the goals of the Mayor's Housing Plan. Are there any questions?
Yep.
Okay.
Remick. Is it under the regulatory authority of DFS?
No. We're a separately created.
It's an insurer.
That is true, but it's not. It is not. It's subject to oversight from the legislature, but it's not a DFS. We don't. We're just not.
Could somebody get us an opinion that would show that DFS does not need to be regulated?
Okay.
That REMIC does not need to be regulated by DFS?
Sure.
My understanding is it is not, and that's the question that has been raised as to why it isn't.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, I have a problem which I'd like to raise in the abstract, but pointing to a specific one for a reason of a disclosure of conflict in a moment. In some instances, you've indicated the bonds will be larger than the loan.
Right? No, it's the, yeah, the bonds will be less than the loan.
Less than the loan. What's the reason?
Well, what we've done is we've kind of done a combination of things. So in the end, there will be prepayments coming into the open resolution, and those will be relent, and then basically the mortgage will align where those loans were originally made, and that will fund that debt relating to that. It allows for us to do this forward approach, which reduces the negative arbitrage, so that we can tell people that we will take out their debt in the future, and we're using basically 3 pots of money to do that. Part of it is the permanent bonds that we're selling today. Part of it is using this re-lending that I just described to you, and then the other part is floating rate bonds that we will issue in the future.
What assurance, what kind of a supervisory scheme do you have in place to assure that alignment will occur?
Well, it's what we always do. So we're always doing this kind of lending, and you've often seen loans that have prepayments that are expected, and they've always happened. And so we have this is really what we do. So we expect that that will happen, and we have every reason to think that it will. If it weren't to happen, then we would actually have to use corporations' money to fund that. Remember, usually when we're using our corporations' money,
where I was going,
but the
I have no problem substantively with it. I have a problem in terms of disclosure. And the question is, at some point, give some thought to whether or not we do not have an obligation to make greater disclosure that there is potentially at risk some of the corporation's assets.
And we do that disclosure. So we describe what we're doing in the offering documents that we're doing. I just spent 10 minutes explaining as well to you in a public meeting. So we are providing that disclosure. And what would happen, I just want to sort of answer further, is if there's a period of time when we're waiting for a prepayment and we have to make this permanent loan, the corporation will use its own monies to do that. The thing that would impact is that we would be making loans at about 5% rather than loans at 1%. So the monies that we normally, I mean, which would impact the housing plan if it went on for too long of a period, but actually would be more profitable for the corporation during that period. It's not our goal, it's not our expectation, but it actually, we believe that we can manage that risk, and so we don't think it's a significant one.
One of the items contemplates a interest cost not to exceed 15%, when you state it is expected that the funding obligations will have a true interest rate cost of not to exceed 6%.
That's correct.
A pretty wide disparity.
Well, that's the nature of how that construction loan is structured. It is sort of like it's a floating rate, so you tend to put a higher max rate, but in effect, for a variety of reasons, you're going to lock in at what we think will be a lower rate, and that's what we're describing during that construction period. There are other savings that are a part of that that effectively mimic what our other loans will look like.
What has our experience been in terms of these kind of variations?
Right. So those are the back-to-back agreements that we've done with Citibank now for, I think, 4 or 5 years. And our experience has been very successful with them, that they're an efficient funding vehicle and that reduces the cost of construction financing that is required from a bank, and that we've had no conversion issues.
Any loss or any problems with the underlying?
Mm-hmm. No.
I am required by the Conflict of Interest Board to make the following disclosures. Members of my firm, but not I, have a representation of parties interested in attachments number 5, 6, 7, and 8. There is one more. 10. I have had no communication with anyone concerning any of those subjects prior to today, other than to find out whether or not there was a conflict of interest so that I might disclose it or potential conflict. Under the rules of the Conflict of Interest Board, I am not required to recuse myself from any of those, having made the disclosure.
Which, how much savings do you anticipate from the new strategy?
Generally, one of our goals is that we can make up to about a point on the debt that we're issuing. And so we believe that in essentially all of these different structures that we will come, we will either be at that level or near that level, so that sort of goes back to our bottom line and then allows us to do more lending. So that is our overall where we think we'll be able to come in.
Is this weeks adjusted or just...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's the whole point, is to sort of adjust for risk so that we're getting paid, in essence, that premium to address the risk that is otherwise in these transactions. And at the same time, we believe that we're offering rates that are seriously, significantly better than could be otherwise derived through the marketplace. So we think in that sense it's a win-win, but it's required, as I've said and I explained, a lot of new approaches and a lot of moving parts, and that's why we thought it was important to explain them to you.
I have one issue, just on the conflicts piece. I think I may have participated in developer selection on one of these as president of EDC, so I just need to figure out where the conflict is, if that's a conflict at all. I think on Caton Flats, is that the Flatbush Caton Market?
Yeah. Yes.
So I would have pretty sure, I mean, it was a million years ago, but I think I participated. I can't remember if you did it or I did it.
Potentially.
So I just need
you
to
don't actually. Yeah. You might, but you don't. Because you're still in your government role, so it's fine.
And are you in a quasi-government role? Governmental role now.
Sitting here, yes. But not in real life.
No, but I mean, when you made the selection, you were working in a government role, and you are currently in your as your position as a board member making decisions in in a quasi-governmental role. I don't see any.
That's fine.
Okay. Thank you. Are there other questions, comments for Rich?
Can I add one more point to Rich's comments on that exchange, too? We are very careful in looking at, it's one thing in the question of the risk, but there's also a scale question, how much of it that we're actually doing, and we're carefully monitoring the scale at which we do this. So in no case, even in a worse circumstance, would there be any condition where we couldn't cover that, or that we could, it's kind of steer as you go. So we could stop moving in this direction, we can steer as we go, and it wouldn't be at a volume that would be disruptive to what
Let me be clear, if I may. I have been privileged for 40, 50 years to serve in one or another governmental or quasi-governmental role. And in all of that time, as I do with the other agencies now, I've never encountered an agency better run and better active in terms of fulfilling the public interest than this. I do this primarily so that the record is clear, the thought is given both by the members and by the board to issues and questions and to assure maximum transparency.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Sure. With regards to disclosure, so yesterday we participated in a due diligence call basically with our rating agencies, and among the questions that they ask us, basically, do we have defaults on any loans, are there any delinquencies, etc. So in relation to the open resolution, we're required to disclose all of this to our rating agencies, just to support
and to the bankers who are marketing the bonds.
That's the point. The public and the financial institutions have a right to have disclosure, and to the maximum extent possible, we try to make it. And in the time that I've served on this board, I don't know, 10, 15 years, that has been the habit and the practice.
Great. Thank you. That's very helpful. All right. If there are no other questions or comments, we can move to the next item in the agenda, the approval of an authorizing resolution relating to the multifamily housing revenue bonds 2018 series KLMN and 2019 series A3B, 2022 series B and C, the multifamily mortgage revenue debt obligations for Caton Flats and MEC 125th Street Parcel B West, approval of mortgage loans and approval of an amendment to the 2006 series J1 supplemental resolution. Anthony will walk us through those items.
Thank you. Edits have been made to your memorandum, so please see the black line pages that have been presented for you. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the issuance of the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds, 2018 series K, L, and M, 2019 series A, 3, and B, and 2022 series B and C, in an amount not expected to exceed $1,043,190,000. Together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves and available funds in the open resolution, the aforementioned bonds are expected to be used to finance the construction, acquisition, rehabilitation, and/or permanent financing of certain developments and other activities as described in your memorandum. I am also pleased to recommend that the members authorize the corporation to enter into two funding loan agreements with Citibank to receive funds from Citibank, which will in turn be loaned by the corporation to two borrowers in a modified version of the back-to-back structure as a standalone financing for the Caton Flats and MEC 125 Parcel B West developments in an amount not expected to exceed $204,600,000. And to enter into four bond purchase agreements with Citibank regarding the sale of 2022 B1 and C1 bonds. The members are also being asked to approve an amendment to the second amended and restated 81st supplemental resolution, originally adopted on June 11, 2012, and amended on June 5, 2017, relating to the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds 2006 Series J1. To allow for the refinancing of those bonds and the issuance of 2018 Series N bonds as further described in your memorandum.
Interest on the 2018 Series N bonds will not be exempt from federal income tax, but will be exempt from New York State and local income tax. Interest on all the other bonds and the funding loan obligations is expected to be exempt from federal, state, and local income tax. Further, I am pleased to recommend the members authorize the use of the corporation's unrestricted reserves or available funds of the open resolution in a combined amount not expected to exceed $91,210,000 to finance the rehabilitation and preservation of One Mitchell Llama development. Lastly, I'm pleased to recommend the members approve four or more interest rate hedging instruments in a combined notional amount not expected to exceed $300 million to manage interest rate risk relating to the variable rate bonds of the open resolution, as well as the anticipated issuance in 2022 to finance a portion of certain permanent loans as further described in your memo. Approval of these resolutions will authorize the 274th through 284th supplemental resolutions under the corporation's open resolution, the funding loan agreements, and the amendment to the 2006 Series J1 supplemental resolution. Preservation loan. The corporation expects to use its unrestricted reserves or available funds of the open resolution in a combined amount not to exceed $91,210,000 to finance and restructure senior and subordinate mortgage loans for the rehabilitation and preservation of One Mitchell Llama development called Esplanade Gardens. This endeavor will preserve 1,872 units of affordable housing in Central Harlem. For more information on the development, please see Attachment 2. 2018 Series K, Series L, and 2019 Series B bonds. It is anticipated that the proceeds of the 2018 Series K, Series L, and 2019 Series B bonds in an amount not expected to exceed $626,205,000, together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves, available funds of the open resolution, and funds from bank loan participations, will be used to finance mortgage loans for up to 13 developments. In aggregate, the developments represent over 3,500 units of rental housing existing or to be located in the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan. The subordinate loans, with one exception, are expected to have an interest rate equal to the applicable federal rate as recently published by the Internal Revenue Service, with set lower monthly payments to be advanced during construction and to remain in the projects as permanent loans. One existing subordinate loan bears an interest rate of 1%. The corporation intends to fund the short-term portion of each senior mortgage loan primarily with its unrestricted reserves, but with proceeds from long-term tax-exempt bonds. When borrower prepayments from tax credit equity are received upon project completion, such prepayments will be available for re-lending by the corporation to other affordable housing developments. Any future lending from such prepayments will be presented to the members for approval. With the exception of the permanent financing of the co-senior construction participation loan described in your memorandum, which will be authorized pursuant to this request. The corporation intends to sell a 100% participation in four co-senior mortgage loans to a bank upon origination. The co-senior construction participation loans will be structured as drawdown to reduce the negative arbitrage that would otherwise be incurred under the conventional, fully funded open resolution bond structure. Upon construction completion and conversion to a permanent loan, the corporation will repurchase all or a portion of the respective bank's participation interest by refinancing the applicable co-senior construction participation loan into a permanent loan using a combination of the corporation's unrestricted reserves and available funds of the open resolution, including funds made available from prepayments as described above, in a combined amount not to exceed $330,370,000. Each permanent loan will then be pledged to the open resolution. The 2018 Series K bonds and the 2019 Series B bonds are expected to be issued as tax-exempt bonds in an initial fixed-rate term with convertible options as described in your memorandum. The 2018 Series L bonds are expected to be issued exclusively for the Hunters Point South, North, and South Towers developments as described under the structure of the bonds and funding loan obligations section of your memorandum. The corporation expects to enter into one or more hedging instruments as further described under the heading Proposed Interest Rate Hedge in your memorandum to manage the interest rate risk relating to the conversion of the 2018 Series L bonds into variable rate bonds upon the permanent conversion of each loan anticipated to occur in 2022. The Series L bonds are expected to be issued as tax-exempt multimodal bonds initially in the term rate term mode with convertible options as explicitly described in your memorandum. Due to the limited availability of new private activity bond volume cap, certain developments may receive a portion of the required financing proceeds through the issuance of 2019 Series B bonds in 2019. The members are requested to approve the funding of portions of certain senior mortgage loans in an amount not to exceed $64,575,000 from available funds of the open resolution or its unrestricted reserves in the event the corporation is unable to issue the 2019 Series B bonds with private activity bond volume cap. For more information on the individual developments, please see attachments 3 through 15. 2018 Series M. It is anticipated that the 2018 Series M bonds in an amount not expected to exceed $50 million will be issued as a convertible option bond to preserve tax-exempt recycle volume cap in excess of the amounts currently needed by the corporation. If issued, the proceeds of the 2018 Series M bonds are expected to provide construction and permanent financing for the new construction or acquisition and rehabilitation of certain developments, all of which are listed on Attachment 16, and which will meet the affordability requirements for tax-exempt bonds. The mortgage loans for these developments are expected to close in 2019, at which point the 2018 Series M bonds will be refunded or remarketed to match the terms of the applicable mortgage loans. These Series M bonds are expected to be issued as variable rate bonds initially in the term rate mode. 2019 Series A 3. At the members' meeting on September 26, 2018, the members authorized the corporation to sell 2019 Series A1 bonds in one or more series or subseries on a forward basis to refund a portion of the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds 2009 Series C1, 2009 Series F, 2009 Series J, K, and M. The corporation has subsequently issued 2019 Series A1 bonds and 2019 Series A2 bonds on October 11, 2018 for a total of $110 million for delivery in 2019. It is anticipated that the proceeds of the 2019 Series A3 bonds in an amount not to exceed $162,385,000 will be used to A, refund the remaining $112,385,000 of the 2009 bonds to generate interest rate savings in the open resolution, and B, to finance and or reimburse the corporation for previously financing from its unrestricted reserves certain existing subordinate loans. The issuance of the 2019 Series A3 bonds will allow for replenishment of the corporation's reserves, which can then be relent to new developments in furtherance of the corporation's commitment to the Mayor's Housing New York plan. The 2019 Series A3 bonds are expected to be issued as tax-exempt bonds in an initial fixed-rate term with convertible options as described in your memo. Funding loan agreements and 2022 bonds. It is anticipated that the proceeds of the funding loan agreements will be used to finance the construction phase mortgage loans and that the 2022 bonds, together with other available funds of the open resolution, will be used to finance the permanent phase mortgage loans for two developments in an amount not expected to exceed $204,600,000. The corporation expects to enter into two loan agreements with Citibank to finance the construction of two developments and to issue one or more multifamily mortgage revenue debt obligations in amounts not expected to exceed $67,100,000 and $137,500,000. It is anticipated that upon the execution of the funding loan agreement, Citibank will fund all or a portion of the senior construction loans initially with taxable proceeds, resulting in a participation in the applicable portion of each construction loan on a drawdown basis to reduce the negative arbitrage that would otherwise be incurred under the conventional fully funded open resolution recycle bond structure. When recycle proceeds are available over the course of the scheduled construction period for the qualified tax-exempt financing portion, the corporation expects to issue one or more tranches of funding loan obligations and cause the refinancing of all or a portion of Citibank's taxable participation loan into a loan financed with tax-exempt proceeds. In the corporation's previous back-to-back structure, Citibank entered into a forward commitment to purchase the long-term bonds for the full amount of the permanent phase financing. Under the modified back-to-back structure, the corporation expects Citibank to purchase a portion of the permanent phase financing long-term bonds in a combined amount not to exceed $68,200,000 and the corporation expects to issue and sell open resolution bonds to the public and or use the corporation's unrestricted reserves together with available funds of the open resolution, including funds made available from prepayments from the 2018 Series K developments as described in the memo, in a combined amount not to exceed $136,400,000 to fund the remaining portion of each permanent loan and pledge each to the open resolution. The funding loan obligations are expected to be issued as two or more fixed rate or variable rate tax exempt obligations. The 2022 Series B1 and B2 bonds are expected to be issued as tax exempt bonds in 2022 at fixed rates or in an initial fixed rate mode with convertible options as described in your memorandum. The 2022 Series C1 and C2 bonds are expected to be issued as variable rate bonds to be secured by a liquidity facility provided by a bank or through a self-liquidity facility utilizing assets of the corporation. More specific information on these two developments can be found in attachments 14 and 15. Interest rate hedge. In relation to the permanent financing of Hunters Point South, Caton Flats, MEC 125 Parcel B West, Bedford Union Armory, and Riverwalk 8 developments, the members are being asked to approve four or more interest rate hedging instruments in a combined notional amount not expected to exceed $300 million and at a cost not expected to exceed $5 million to be funded with the corporation's unrestricted reserves to manage its interest rate risk relating to the 2022 Series B2 bonds and C2 bonds expected to be issued on or around 2022, and the 2018 Series L bonds, which are expected to be remarketed on or around 2022. The corporation is working with Mahanti Garjulo, LLC, its hedge advisor, to lock in the favorable current financing costs through the facilitation of an interest rate hedging instrument, including a forward-starting interest rate swap. The corporation is expecting to enter into one or more interest rate swaps based on an index likely to be SIFMA or a percentage of one-month LIBOR. More precise details of the instruments have been provided in your memorandum. Eric highlighted the importance of prompting our lending partners into new levels of collaboration. In addition, Rich has mentioned the necessity for the corporation to create new financing structures and lending vehicles. To those ends, the corporation is expected to enter into one or more agreements with the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, or Freddie Mac, to provide credit enhancement for two permanent loans. The corporation will assume the first position loss up to 20% of the permanent loan, and Freddie Mac will provide credit enhancement on the remaining 80% of the permanent loan. As a return for its risk exposure, the corporation will earn a servicing fee on the entire loan, plus a credit enhancement fee on the top loss portion of each permanent loan that reflects its risk position. Similarly, Freddie Mac has agreed to a reduced enhancement fee on its portion of each permanent loan. The corporation uses a variety of permanent credit enhancement products in the open resolution, and staff believes that the addition of the Freddie risk share will be an important tool for providing diverse options for the corporation's core lending programs. Although not required under the program, the corporation staff believes that it is prudent to maintain reserves where the corporation assumes risk. The corporation expects that the reserves will resemble their existing reserves established for the corporation's FHA risk share program. More details on the developments, as well as the bond underwriters, risk, fees, and credit ratings associated with the 2018, 2019, and 2022 bonds are outlined in your memorandum. Unless there are any questions, Louise will provide the authorizing resolutions.
What is the amount, current amount, approximately the unrestricted reserves that we have at this time?
It's about
the risk share?
No. You were talking about overall how much we have in corporate services? About $550 million.
Because when I hear $300 million, I start to worry.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot, but we.
It's okay.
You'll see when we do the financials at the beginning of next year. Our net assets are increasing. We're doing well.
You're pledging unrestricted reserves. I just want to make sure that they're more than the $300 million that you pledge.
So, question. With respect to the Esplanade Gardens, you said that you are expecting to waive all the fees that I've seen there. Do you know how much of the fees will be foregoing, and why are we waiving the fees?
As part of our Mitchell-Lama program, that's been a consistent thing that we have done them at no or reduced fees. Normally we would charge an origination fee. And we do have certain fees still in there, the construction monitoring and the like. So where we actually, but where we can reduce the fees. So I think the reduction of fees in this case is probably over $1 million. And that is because the city itself is putting a lot of money into this project, and we're trying to keep it very affordable. It's a moderate income co-op in Harlem, so it's a balancing, and that's been a consistent part of our program. That for Mitchell-Lamas, that we don't charge the normal fees that we would do for a private developer.
Costa.
Yes, as best we can.
Any other questions? You want to walk us through the authorizations?
Yes, thank you. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the open resolution, providing for the issuance of the bonds and other activities as listed therein and in the memo before you, and B, to authorize the execution by the president or any authorized officer of the corporation of any and all documents necessary to issue the bonds and to make the mortgage loans relating to the bonds. The members are requested to A, there's a lot, Anthony said a lot, so the members are requested to approve A, an authorizing resolution that provides for the amendment to the supplemental resolution relating to the 2006 Series J1 bonds for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the open resolution, providing for the issuance of the 2018 Series N bonds, and B, the execution of the mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the issuance of the 2006 and 2018 bonds and the financing of the related loan. The members are also requested to approve an authorizing resolution which provides for the execution of two loan agreements, the execution of the Caton Flats loan agreement and the MEC 125 Parcel B West loan agreement, as well as the execution of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the issuance of the related funding loan obligations and loans. The members are also requested to approve A, the making of subordinate loans for 10 developments from the 2018 Series K bonds, and or the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not to exceed $130,045,000. The use of the corporation's unrestricted reserves to fund a portion of the senior loans for 7 of the developments, and C, the execution of an authorized officer, the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the senior and subordinate financing. The members are requested to approve the making of certain preservation loans for 1 development in an amount not to exceed $91,210,000 from available funds of the open resolution or its unrestricted reserves, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the financing. The members are requested to approve the origination of 4 taxable co-senior construction participation loans in a combined amount not to exceed $330,370,000, the subsequent purchase by the corporation of 100% participation interest in such loan for the permanent financing of the project listed in the memo before you, using a combination of the corporation's unrestricted reserves and available funds of the open resolution, including funds made available from prepayments as described above, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish such financings. The members are requested to approve the execution of 4 or more interest rate hedging instruments in a combined notional amount not to exceed $300 million or use its unrestricted reserve for an amount not to exceed $5 million and the execution by the president or any authorized officer of the corporation of any and all documents necessary to enter into said hedging instruments. The members are requested to approve the funding of portions of certain senior mortgage loans in amount not to exceed $64,575,000 from available funds of the open resolution or its unrestricted reserves in the event the corporation is unable to issue the 2019 Series B bonds with private activity volume cap. The members are asked to approve A, execution of all documents necessary or useful or convenient in connection with obtaining Freddie risk share mortgage insurance on all mortgage loans, including a Freddie risk share agreement and any related mortgage loan documents, and B, the funding from the corporation's unrestricted reserves of an amount or amounts not to exceed the amounts due upon a claim on each enhanced mortgage loan. Finally, the members are asked to approve a Freddie risk share reserve to be funded from the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not to exceed 1% of the loss amounts that the corporation is responsible for under the Freddie risk share.
Now, do I have a motion to approve all of the many actions?
Yes.
I won't repeat the actions, but do I have a motion to approve those actions? Second?
Second.
All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item, approval of a down payment assistance fund term loan, and we will walk us through that item.
Thank you. I'm pleased to present for the members' approval a proposal related to the city's creation of a down payment assistance fund that is intended to support the Mayor's Housing New York 2.0 initiative by providing short-term loans that will enable pre-qualified nonprofit developers to make down payments when attempting to purchase vacant land or vacant buildings for the purpose of creating new affordable and/or supportive housing under existing loan programs offered by HDC and HPD. Toward this end, the members are requested to authorize use of the corporation's unrestricted reserves to make an interest-only 5-year term loan to the newly created Down Payment Assistance Fund, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $2.25 million, of which $1 million will occupy a top loss position. Investments in the Down Payment Assistance Fund are non-recourse to the fund itself or its owners. Funders will have recourse to the borrowers through repayment guarantees made by borrowers at the time of the loan closing. The remaining funds will be treated on a pari passu basis with other funders. The fund expects to begin operations in December 2018 with a total of $5.25 million in investments, including $3 million in investment from funders other than HDC. The Down Payment Assistance Fund will offer pre-qualified nonprofits short-term loans to make deposits on land purchases when they sign a purchase and sale agreement prior to closing on acquisition financing. Loan sizes are expected to range in size from $250,000 to $1 million, which is the maximum size. HDC will have a representative on a credit committee that reviews and approves all loan requests. The legal structure of the fund is expected to be a standalone LLC that is legally distinct from the New York City Acquisition Fund, but has owners and management functionally identical to the Acquisition Fund. Enterprise Community Partners and the Local Initiatives Support Corporation will be the joint owners, and the fund will be managed by Forsyth Street Advisors. Further details on the terms and the risks of this proposal are outlined in the memo before you. If there are no questions, the members are requested to approve the use of the corporation's unrestricted reserve to make an interest-only 5-year term loan to the Down Payment Assistance Fund, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $2.25 million, of which $1 million will occupy a top loss position, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish this investment.
Thank you, Luke. Other questions?
Madam Chair, since LISC is one of the originating lenders, I would need to disclose that, although I'm not personally involved in the transactions. And yeah.
Other questions, comments? Do I have a motion to approve the Down Payment Assistance Fund term loan?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item, the presentation and approval of the fiscal year 2019 operating budget.
Thank you. I'm pleased to present the corporation's proposed fiscal year 2019 operating budget for the members' approval. The operating budget demonstrates responsible and strategic fiscal planning, which allows HDC the flexibility to reach its goals while also containing administrative costs through operational innovations and efficient managerial controls. As the main financing partner behind the Mayor's Housing New York plan, HDC continues to expand on its history of production and financial success. The corporation ended fiscal year 2018 with an excess of revenues over expenses on a cash basis of $110.44 million, an increase of $27.67 million over the budgeted amount of $82.77 million. This improvement was largely due to higher-than-expected investment income, servicing fees, and fees received on loan originations and refinancings, as well as better-than-expected performance in the open resolution. Fiscal year 2019 revenues are budgeted to be $146.19 million, a $32 million or 28% increase from the fiscal year 2018 adopted budget. The projected increase is mainly due to four key factors. One, an increase in investment earnings due to more funds under management, as well as an increase in interest rates. Two, an increase in the open resolution surplus due to an increase in both issuance and investment interest rates. Three, an increase in HDC servicing fees due to more construction loans converting to permanent, as well as more loans in the portfolio. And four, an increase in loan origination fees expected with more deals closing under the housing plan. Fiscal year 2019 expenses are budgeted to be $33.59 million. This is a $2.15 million or 6.84% increase from the fiscal year 2018 adopted budget. The increase from the fiscal year 2018 budgeted amounts revolves around certain budget lines increasing or decreasing from last year. But for the most part, the increase is related to three major initiatives that the corporation is moving forward with in 2019. First, as HDC has continuously grown as one of the nation's leading multifamily housing finance agencies, the city has requested HDC use its lending strength and reputation to assist the New York City Housing Authority to help preserve and finance the rehabilitation of housing developments in their portfolio. This new collaboration will be brought before the members at a meeting in the new year. Debt issuance through HDC will finance extensive capital improvements, which are essential to preserve, modernize, and improve the developments, as well as to ensure their viability for current and future generations of NYCHA residents. As a result of this initiative, HDC will create a new department within the corporation to develop and lead this undertaking. The NYCHA Lending Department will be a transactional unit that will require five new hires initially. Senior director and attorney are budgeted for 2019 first quarter hires, and the remaining three positions, an engineer and two project managers, are scheduled for May 2019 hire dates. The second major initiative was started this year through an RFP process related to a strategic assessment of the corporate technology for HDC. Spruce Technology was selected earlier this year to assess the current state of the information technology at the corporation, including business and technology alignment, disaster recovery, cybersecurity, strategic planning, and staffing. The assessment was completed in late spring of this year, and a detailed report was issued with recommendations and a roadmap for the next 3 to 5 years. HDC senior management has reviewed the recommendations and has decided to implement most of the top 10 suggested initiatives. This budget contains funds needed for some of those items, which include strengthening the staff, hardening the IT environment, creating an IT governance structure, strengthening the cybersecurity program, and re-engineering business processes to be more efficient through technology. Our newest executive team member, our new CIO, Paul Kackler, will lead these initiatives.
Good morning.
And finally, as the organization has grown over the years, developed more complex financing structures, and leveraged federal legislation for business initiatives, it has led to the necessity of reorganizing some other departments within HDC so that staff members can dedicate their strengths fully to the corporation's mission and goals. The most notable restructure related to this growth is at the executive staff level, which the members approved during the September 26, 2018 meeting, which created the new position of first executive vice president and hiring a new general counsel. Not for the formation of the NYCHA Lending Department, the implementation of the IT recommendations, and the reorganization of the executive team, the operating expense budget would have increased only 1.48%. The notes and Schedule A to the budget memo contained in your packages provide more details for each revenue and expense line item. If there are no questions, the members are being asked to approve the corporation's fiscal year 2019 operating budget.
Thank you, Kathy. Questions?
Just a really more a comment. It probably would be helpful for the members to hear more detail in a separate forum regarding NYCHA. It's commending the, I would commend HCC for stepping up into this role, but I do think there's a lot of detail that isn't here that would be helpful for us to hear about.
Good suggestion. We'll make sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, appreciate it.
Turning to page 4, there is a line budget item on behalf of, quote, the Department of Homeless Services Consultant and a NYCHA Compliance Department Audit Review. The NYCHA costs are anticipated to be reimbursed at a later date. Question number 1, what has a Department of Homeless Services Consultant to do with our budget? Smells of off-budget financing.
No, there are a couple things about that. So we were asked to step in. There are things, maybe it's better to take it in the other order, but there were certain things that came up that had an urgency to them and that we felt was important, given the urgency, to address that. So on the homeless services question, The urgency really was in figuring out how, and there were also skills here that we could use to figure out how we could assist in determining the best ways forward on some of their property that they had that was available that might go into a development pipeline that we thought made sense. And also there were consultant services around what other sites might be made available. So we viewed this as very much part of the pipeline and a housing finance initiative.
I don't think the controller will agree with you. I intend to ask him for an opinion.
That's okay.
How much is the consultant services for the Department of Homeless?
What is?
$200,000.
How much?
$200,000.
$200,000?
Yeah.
Who's the consultant?
EJH.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm sorry,
I don't remember.
May I request that this matter, BGA? That portion of this budget be held so we get an explanation of this. Overshadowed only by NYCHA, Homeless Services is the most inept, incompetent agency of the city of New York. I don't mean any disrespect by that, but viewing it solely from the standpoint of the MTA and what it sees the Department of Homeless Services not doing in dealing with the homeless at the subways and trains and the like, I must tell you, and what the community see, I need to know why we are spending $200,000 from a well-run agency to help cover the deficits of a badly run agency.
We already, this was expended. This
spent
already
spent it?
Yeah.
Well, I would like to know who got it and what the rationale was, because I honestly think this is inappropriate expenditure, and I think the controller, the state controller, will agree with me.
So may I propose that I take another look at our regulations and speak with somebody at the controller's office to settle the issue?
Well, the controller's office does not have oversight. You do, as the members. The controller does not have oversight of our budget.
I believe you will find that Tom DiNapoli will disagree with you and that Scott Stringer will disagree with you.
So just let
for
us
a comfort but, level. Understood. I think what we could do, we should first, of course, provide information on who the consultant was. I think it would be helpful to clarify the scope of that work. So it's distinguished, as Eric mentioned. It is the work. The scope of it was focused on understanding real estate issues for an affordable housing development pipeline versus any number of issues related to the operations of the city's shelter systems. I think that's a
yes.
clarification that we must make. And any other questions that would be helpful, we will provide.
A much appreciated solution. I thank you, and I would urge that all of the members of the board get the answers to that. Second part is just a comment, if I may. It is no secret that for a period of many years, I have had some significant questions concerning NYCHA, which takes the cake far and away for incompetence.
You're not alone.
I know that. But only recent arrivals to that party. I appreciate what the mayor is trying to do here. I appreciate the idea of trying to find a way to finally get people to live in housing fit for people and fit for living. The NYCHA housing is, as a former building commissioner, I would have condemned more than half of the buildings now. And in fact, one of the defects is that the buildings department has failed to inspect these buildings for the last decade or more and has allowed them to deteriorate. That's just a fact of life. And therefore, I will support the idea of creating this thing. But I do want this fund that you're doing, this unit, I do want to put on the table a couple of questions I would ask you to consider asking. Mm-hmm. All right? One, I am deeply concerned that there are private entities that would be brought aboard to run this are reputable, competent, and the like, and that this not become a political exercise. Number two, that the land that is now available for people to sit to get some sunlight in projects, and that was a part of the original concept of Housing Authority developments, be maintained to the maximum extent possible, and rather sell the air rights than trample on the few inches of land that people have so that they can have some fresh air. And thirdly, that there be adequate safeguards put in place that people who live in those developments not only have a better living condition than they currently have and have had for the last decade or more, but that they not be the subject of random eviction, which in the private sector is far more rampant than in the public sector. Our idea is to build a city fit for people and fit for living and housing, fit for human beings. And those, I think, are minimum requirements in order to make that go. And I thank you and apologize for taking so much time on the issue.
Yeah, we agree with all that. We absolutely, I think you'll be, as Denise requested, and we're happy to do, we'll have a fuller, much fuller discussion on the financing side. On the issue that you raised on the consulting service for compliance.
I didn't question that.
I know, but you raised it, and I just want to say, similar to what we said about DHS, that we felt that the challenge was actually acting too slow rather than acting too quickly, and that it was very important that we deal with that.
You communicated with the board members in advance of that.
Exactly. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Are there other questions or comments on the FY19 operating budget? Do I have a motion to approve?
Second.
Understood. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda, Rich will walk us through the property disposition report.
Sure. I am pleased that the members approved the property disposition guidelines to your packets. Pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act of 2005, each public authority is required to adopt comprehensive guidelines in connection with the disposition of property owned by such authority, and we approve such guidelines on an annual basis. The guidelines have not changed since originally approved by the members in fiscal year 2008. Also, the corporation does not currently own any real property, nor did it dispose of any in the prior year, as noted in the annual property disposition report in your packages.
Thank you for joining.
Questions or comments? Do we have a motion to approve the property disposition report?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item, we have a number of declarations of intent resolutions. Anthony.
Thank you. As you know, the Declaration of Intent resolutions are solely for tax code purposes, allowing any expenditures incurred by a project's developer within 60 days prior to the date the resolution is passed to be eligible for tax-exempt bond financing.
Okay.
Before HDC were to actually finance a project, the specifics of the transaction would be presented to the members for review and approval. North Cove Terrace, Phase 1. The proposed development will consist of the new construction of one building containing 277 residential rental units, including superintendent unit, to be located in Upper Manhattan using approximately $46.8 million in tax-exempt bonds. The
project is to be developed by a single-purpose entity to be formed and controlled by the principals of MAD Equities and Joy Construction. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. North Cove Phase 2.
The proposed development will consist of the new construction of one building containing 337 residential rental units, including superintendent unit, to be located in Upper Manhattan using approximately $69.8 million in tax-exempt bonds. The project is to be developed by a single-purpose entity to be formed and controlled by the principals of MAD Equities and Joy Construction. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. River Terrace.
This proposed development will consist of the new construction of one building containing 250 residential rental units, including one superintendent unit, to be located in the Bronx using approximately $60 million in tax-exempt bonds. The project is to be developed by the single-purpose entity to be formed and controlled by the principals of MAD Equities. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Last item, McClellan Apartments.
The proposed development will consist of the new construction of one building containing 250 residential rental units, including one superintendent unit, to be located in the Bronx using approximately $60 million in taxes and bonds. The project is to be developed by a single-purpose entity to be formed and controlled by the principals of MAD Equities. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Do I have a motion to approve? Second?
Second.
All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. At this time, I'd like to close the meeting of the Finance Committee and call for a motion of HDC Board to ratify those items just approved by the Finance Committee. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Now I'd like to call for a motion to adjourn the full HDC Board meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The meeting is adjourned. Happy holidays to everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you.